Now, we have been working on a series called God Dreamed a Dream Worth Living. Woo! I mean, I remembered. And God dreamed a dream worth living. And I'm talking about the dream that he dreamed for your life and what that means and how it changes the way you live when you begin to understand what was the plan of God and how do you implement or become a part of the plan of God. And when you really start to understand that, your life begins to unfold in amazing and miraculous ways. And that's what we want. We want amazing things to happen in our life. Everybody feels that. I think at some point in your life, in your heart, you feel, I can do something amazing. I can do something incredible. Sometimes you don't know what it is. You don't know how you're going to do it. But when you start to understand the plan of God, the dream that he has for your life, and how you can be a part of it, that's when the amazing begins to happen. Everybody has that feeling inside that we can do something amazing because that's what we were created for. We were created to do something amazing. We were created to have an amazing life. We shouldn't just have, you know, kind of a boring day-to-day life where we're stuck in a rut or we're doing something, you know, monotonous every day, but that we're really excited and we're passionate about getting up out of bed, that we're jumping out of, springing out of bed and saying, what do you got for me today, God? Because that's the way God wants us to live. Now, in our series, we've been talking about what motivates God. In part one, God is motivated by love, is what I was talking about, and how everything that he has dreamed, that he has planned, is so that he can love us. And he wants, you know, just pour out his love upon us in so many amazing ways. In part two, I was talking about how he had given us a choice. Because if we're going to love, we need to have a choice. We can't be like robots, you know, just being made to do something. We have to have an ability to choose one way or another. And then when we choose to be with God, we're really choosing to receive that love. And that's when it really begins to flourish in our life. And I was talking about those choices being between living under the law. And whenever we're living under the law, it means that we are feeling condemned or we are feeling guilty. I mean, Ten Commandments when I'm talking about law. We are always feeling condemned and guilty. We're never good enough. We can never live up to it. We can never fulfill all those laws. And it's an all or nothing. We either get them all right or we get them all wrong. There's no in between there. And because we're human, you realize, whoa, I got a problem here. Because I've never got them all right. And nobody else has. You know, good thing is we're all in the same boat. But the other choice that God wanted us to have was to be walking with God, where he is providing for us, where he is pouring out upon us his blessing, his goodness, his love, his healing, his light. He is pouring this all out upon us each and every day in full abundance. That was the other choice, and they called that in the Garden of Eden, they called the law the knowledge of good and evil, and the one we're receiving from God, the tree of life. These are the two choices. Today I'm talking about what God's promise and how he fulfilled that promise. So this is part of the dream and how it works in. I want to start by reading Genesis verse 28, chapter 1. And here's what God said. Now this happened right after God created man. This is in the Garden of Eden. He has created man, and he's created them male and female. And this is the first thing he says to them. He says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Very first thing God said after he created you was, be blessed, be fruitful, meaning prosperous, meaning prosper in whatever you do, whatever you're going to set your heart to or your mind to. If you're going to start a business, if you're going to have a family, you're going to prosper. You're going to do good in that. And he said, multiply, meaning whatever you set your hand to, it's going to increase. If you have a business, it's going to increase in value. It's going to increase in earnings. If you have a family, it's going to increase in love, might increase in children, but it's also going to increase in love in that family. And this is what God, that was his promise right there. He spoke it out and he said, have dominion. He didn't say, I want you to be weak, little nothings that I'm going to control. He said, have dominion. You have the authority and the power. I am giving that to you over everything on the earth. You have dominion. That's what he, that was his promise and his dream for us right from the very, very beginning. He said, I want you to have dominion, to have authority, to be prosperous. I want you to be blessed. That's what, that is God's dream right there in a nutshell. Now, when Adam started choosing the knowledge or that tree of knowledge of good and evil and started living under those laws, suddenly he was really, you know, like I said, you cannot fulfill all those laws by yourself. That means he no longer could receive from God all these blessings that God wanted, because now it was up to Adam to do it for himself. Meaning he had to work, he had to toil, and it was hard and it was a struggle. We talked about that a little bit last week. But today I want to talk about what God did to restore us to the opportunity to live under the tree of life. And that's what Easter is all about. That's what Easter is all about. It's about God fulfilling the promise that we would have dominion, that we would be blessed, that we would be fruitful. And what he had to do was, God had to come down and walk on the earth as Jesus. See, no man could fulfill all those laws, meaning we would always be wrong, we would always feel condemned, we'd always feel guilty. God didn't want us feeling like that. So the only thing he could do is he had to come and walk on the earth, because he could fulfill all things. He could fulfill the law and do everything right and complete and total. And once he understood that, or once he came down and did that, now it opened the way for us. It opened the way for us to step back in to the blessing of God, to be fruitful, to multiply, to have authority. And so this is why Jesus came down and did what he did. Now, Jesus knew this, and he said this when he read from the prophet Isaiah. He read from Isaiah 61, and he really told what he was going to do. Let me read this. Here's what he read from Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Jesus reading this. "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." After he read this, he was in the synagogue, he read this, he put it down, he sat down, and he said, "Now this has been fulfilled in your hearing." He was saying, "I'm fulfilling this." He's saying, "I'm going to give you liberty." What is he giving you liberty from? He is breaking you out of that condemnation and guilt where you're trapped under the laws and always trying to do. He is setting you free from that so you can walk in a life of love and blessing. He is breaking the chains so that has no power over you anymore. He said that while he was reading this verse from Isaiah. He was talking about himself. And he said, "Now it is fulfilled." And that's what he came to do. Because he could do it in perfection, he came to walk upon the earth and fulfill the law. He said here in, this is Matthew 5:17. This is Jesus speaking again. "I do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." This is Matthew 5:17. He is talking about what he came to do. He did not come to destroy the law. He's not destroying it. Or the prophets. He is fulfilling them perfectly. Because he is God and walking on the earth, he can fulfill all the requirements. Every single law, he never broke one of them. He kept them all perfectly. He kept them all, you know, in exactly the way that they needed to be. And remember I said it's an all or nothing. He had to keep every single one of them. And he was able to do that because he was God. You and I don't have a chance, as I said last week. Couldn't do it. None of us. Nobody could ever do it. None of us was good enough. But Jesus, walking as God, can do it. Now, I should point out, he had to walk as a man with the anointing of God upon him. This is important. And the reason he had to do it is because he had to walk into the same conditions as we did. He had to walk as a man. Meaning, he couldn't come down with just the straight-on power of God and fulfill all this stuff because God never broke a law. It would be easy for him to do it. He already had fulfilled all those laws. But he had to come down to our level as a man with the anointing of God, the Spirit of God upon him, in order to fulfill these. In other words, under the same conditions that you and I are living and walking today, he was able to accomplish all of these laws and keep them correct. And he also fulfilled all the prophecies. That's why he said, or the prophets. Because he is talking about keeping all the prophecies that ever were talked about him, he would keep them correct and full in their entirety. He wouldn't miss one of them. And that was his job. That's why he came. Now, some people think, man, people murdered Jesus. He was murdered, you know. They snuck up on him one night and captured him in the middle of the night and kidnapped him or whatever, and then they killed him. You know, and if he hadn't been killed, life would be so much greater. The world would be so much better if they hadn't done that. People are naive because it wasn't a sneak attack. Jesus knew what was coming from the very beginning. Jesus was very aware of what he had to do. He knew what his mission was. He had come to fulfill those laws. And he also knew what was going to take place. He knew what he had to do. And he knew when it wasn't his time. There were certain times where he was teaching or preaching, and suddenly the crowd would get upset and they'd say, oh, blasphemer, we need to stone him. But he would slip away, and it said, because it was not his time. He knew what time it was going to be, and he knew he hadn't fulfilled all the prophecies yet. He hadn't fulfilled all the laws yet, and he needed to do it completely. So it wasn't time yet, and he slipped away. They were often talking about this. Not my time. Let's look at this in... here's one. And he also talked about what was going to happen ahead of time. This is a prediction. This is in Matthew 16, verse 21. He's saying to his disciples, he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. This is him predicting. He predicted on three separate occasions to his disciples. He spelled it out to them. They didn't understand what he was talking about. But he knew what was going to happen. And he knew that that had to happen. He knew that that was a part of the plan. Why did he have to do that? To set us free, to give us liberty. This is a day. Easter is a day of liberation. It is the true liberation day. People are often celebrating liberations of this country or that country and saying, oh, we got liberty on that day. This is the true liberation right here. We were liberated from the condemnation and the guilt and all the doing when we were trapped under those laws and we couldn't get out of it ourselves. And Jesus came to fulfill all those laws and those prophecies, and he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly what he had to do, and he knew exactly when it would be. Down here in Matthew 26, verse 18, he says, on this one he says, the teachers, oh, he's telling them to go get this donkey. He says, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at my house with my disciples. So he is telling them what will happen. He is now saying, my time is now. My time is at hand. He is already knows now that he has fulfilled those laws. He has fulfilled the prophecies. And it's time now for this to happen. For what to happen? For him to go and be sacrificed. This is what he had to do. He wasn't the only one that knew what was going to happen and when the time was. There's an interesting story here about these two. There was these two men, and they were demon-possessed. And Jesus got out of this boat, and as he's coming towards them, the demons say to Jesus, what, are you here to torment us before the time? They even know there's a time going to come when he is going to have the power to overcome darkness, where he is going to conquer all the things that try to oppress you. Everything that tries to hold you down or make you feel bad or hurt you, he is going to oppress that. He is going to stop that. He is going to take that off of you. Even these demons knew that. So it wasn't like, he was this gullible guy walking along, had no idea. He's all in love. Hey, man, how's it going? Mm-hmm. You know, thinking, let's just out love everybody. No. He knew exactly what the plan of God, the dream of God was, and he knew he was there to fulfill it. He's walking on the earth as God. The anointing of God is upon him. And he is going to fulfill these things. Now, in the Old Testament, it talks about the laws. And one of the particular ones was for atonement of sins. When anybody would make a mistake, what they had to do, and that's what sins means. It's a mistake, a shortcoming. You trespass against your brother or fall short of the laws. You've sinned. So you've made a mistake. And you realize, uh-oh, I've done this. What the laws called for was that you had to bring an animal to sacrifice in the temple to make up for your mistake. So to atone for what I had done, I would have to bring something to the priest. Now, it depended on what I did, what I had to bring. There were all kinds of different animals that you had to bring. There were pigeons, and there were, you know, doves, and there were, you know, lambs and oxen and goats. And, I mean, the list went on and on and on. And so depending on what I did, I would have to bring accordingly. And the priest would take a look at my offering that I brought, and he would look at it, and he would make sure there were no blemishes on it. It had to be an animal without blemishes. It had to be perfect in all ways. Once the priest had looked at that, then I would put my hands on it. And I was doing that to release and let whatever mistakes that I had made go into it. And it was going to be the atonement or pay the price for what my mistakes were. Now, the problem with this system is that the next time I made a mistake, I had to bring another offering. That means if every day, if I had a problem and I was making a mistake every day, which some of us get into that mode, right? I've had times in my life where I've broken the law every day. I've made mistakes every day. I got to bring another sacrifice, another atonement every single day. I've got to bring another atonement. That could get expensive. You're bringing a lamb every day, you know, that's a lot, you know. But so this system, it only lasted for that one particular mistake or that one particular, you know, sin. It wasn't good. It didn't last long enough. And it didn't completely release me from all the other, you know, doubts and condemnation and fear that I had. And that's talking about, you know, what's holding you. When Jesus was saying, I want to set you, liberate you, free you. He was freeing you from fear, condemnation, guilt, mistakes, freeing you from worry, freeing you from forces of darkness, freeing you from anything that would stop you from feeling the love. Remember what God's ultimate dream was, that he wanted you to be blessed, right? He wanted you to have authority. That means anything that took your authority away, he was going to set you free from that too. That's what Jesus is doing. He's setting you free on all these levels. When John the Baptist first saw Jesus walking, he said, there's the Lamb of God. And he said that because he was going to be the one that was going to be the sacrificial lamb for the atonement of our mistakes, of your mistakes. That's what the whole plan was. Jesus is not a dolt. He knows this. He knows it. And then there comes a time where he says, let's see this. Oh, I already read that, where he said, this is, my time is at hand. So he gets to that point in Matthew 26:18 where he realizes, I've already kept all the laws perfectly. He kept them all perfectly, 100%. It had to be all of them. And he was fulfilling all the prophecies. And he had to fulfill those all. So he wasn't destroying them. He was improving them because now he was going to fulfill them completely for us. Now, having said that, so what happened now? He knew his time was there. He's taken to the cross. You know, he's beaten. We've seen these movies, right? He's beaten and he's hung on the cross and he's bloody and, you know, all this stuff. You know, but what was happening, the real point that he was having is this was a guy that had fulfilled all the laws perfectly. He had fulfilled all things perfectly. And now he was in a position where he could take from us all of our mistakes. He could lift those off. And so what happens on the cross here is there's a little switcheroo that happens. There's a trading places event. You might have seen these movies. Hollywood has probably made about a dozen of these movies. I think one's called Freaky Friday. You know, they have where there's two people and they change places. Have you seen this? There's one where Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan, their mother and a daughter, and they change places. And suddenly now they see their life from opposite places. I've seen it where there was two friends and they changed places. And there was, it might have been Melanie Griffith. And, you know, this man and this old woman, they changed places. But anyway, all these Hollywood has all these different movies they've made of people changing places so they can now live the other person's life and see what it's like. Well, while Jesus is on the cross, this is what happens. There's a Freaky Friday thing there going on. There's an old switcheroo. Suddenly we're changing places. And what's changing places? Because Jesus is becoming you. Jesus is, think about this for a moment. He has just become you while he's there. Because he has no mistakes of his own. But he now takes your mistakes, your shortcomings, your flaws, your fears, your condemnation, your guilt. Whatever is holding or suppressing you, he takes that. He becomes you. Just like that sacrificial lamb took when you put your hands on that animal that had no blemish, it took whatever it was supposed to be. On that day, when he hung on that cross, he became you and he took all that stuff. And at the same time, you became him. You became him the minute you invited him to come into your heart. You said, Jesus, come into my heart. You became him. Meaning, you had the authority and the power. You had the blessing of God. You had the anointing of God. You had the glory of God upon you. This was the plan and the dream of God. That he could restore you, restore me, restore everybody. Back to that state where we would have dominion, where we would be blessed, where we'd be fruitful, and where we'd be multiplied. That's what happened. There was this changing places. And the cool thing was that while Jesus was there on the cross, he was receiving not only the sins that had taken place or the mistakes that had taken place, but the mistakes that were taking place. He even said to the people that were doing this, and he said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They're receiving forgiveness right there. And for future. That means all the things that, you know, you and I weren't alive when Jesus was around. It was like more than 2,000 years ago. But still, he became you even before your parents knew who you were. He took all that stuff upon himself. There had to be atonement for mistakes that we were going to make. And he took that. People often look and think, oh, wow, the whipping and the, you know, hanging on the cross, that must have been really agony. That was nothing compared to, you know, the torment he had to take for the atonement of those sins. Somebody had to be, you know, take the punishment for that. And he did it. And he did it because he was perfect. And he had the anointing of God upon him. And he could handle it. But it had to be far worse than just hanging on a cross. All of the hell's breaking loose upon him. But of course we know he overcame it. You know, we don't want to get stuck there at the cross. That's only part of it. Some people get stuck into suffering and think, oh, well, he suffered so I have to suffer. No. No. He suffered so you wouldn't have to suffer. You shouldn't be thinking condemnation or guilt or suffering. He freed you from that. Liberty is what he brought. This is true liberation day. So don't get stuck there at the cross. Continue on. Because there's more to the story. After he liberated us, after he took all that, he then gave us the opportunity to receive his righteousness. We could receive the gift of righteousness, meaning we can become right just by inviting him into our hearts. We can become perfect just by letting his spirit dwell within us. We are perfected. We are changed. We are lifted up. Remember, we became him. He was perfect. He was anointed. He could heal the sick. You can heal the sick. You're anointed. You're perfect. This is what Easter is all about. He liberated you from the mistakes and the faults and the condemnation and the guilt and the fear and anything that stops you from being anointed, having dominion, having authority. You are free to walk in a whole new way the minute you receive Jesus into your heart. You are Him. And you can heal people. And you can change the world. And now there's not just one guy doing that. There are billions that can do that. Of course, we know that He did not die, but He rose from the dead. He conquered death. He conquered the forces of dark. The demons were worried. He came early. Would you come here to torment me before the time? He cast them out. But then later, he got all principalities and powers, and he oppressed them, he conquered them, and he put them under his feet, meaning he had authority over them. And he says here, when he's hanging on the cross, he says, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is finished. What's finished? At that point, he had fulfilled all the laws and all the prophecies. In John 19:36, it talks about, "For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken." This is one of the scriptures. And again, another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." See, they didn't break a single one of his bones. The prophecy called for that. The other two men that hung on the cross with him had their legs broken. Not him, though, because he let his spirit go. So the prophecy could be fulfilled that not one of his bones was broken. Instead, they pierced his side. This is what the second prophecy talks about. It says, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." These are prophecies that were made hundreds of years before. But they were all fulfilled in every step that Jesus made and everything Jesus made. And it was all done to liberate you, to give you freedom, to give you the gift of forgiveness. When we think about the blood of Jesus, or the blood he shed, this is a gift of forgiveness. We should remember forgiveness. And the cool thing about it is it doesn't just happen one time. You are continually being washed or cleansed every day. Every second, every millisecond, if that's what it takes, you are being cleansed. Meaning, every time if you think the wrong thing, or you say the wrong thing, or you do the wrong thing, you're cleansed of it right away. Because you have within you the power of God when you invite Jesus into your heart. You have that, and it's continually releasing and cleansing everything from you. Meaning, you should be walking in a peaceful, loving state. We have to have correct believing. That's why I'm sharing this with you today, that you will understand what God's dream is, what He has done. What has He done so that we can go right back to what it said here in Genesis? Remember what it said. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." That's God's dream. That is the dream that God dreamed for you, and it's worth living because you live free. You live anointed. You live blessed. You have more than enough. You lack nothing. You lack nothing. God provides everything for you when you're walking in that way. And that is what Jesus did. He restored you through the work that He did in His life and on the cross and His resurrection. He restored everybody back to being this blessed person that God had dreamed us to be from the very beginning. And we just have to say, we just have to believe He did that. We just have to believe He did that. Come into my heart. I want to receive that. I want to receive that blessed life that God has dreamed for me. God dreamed a life worth living. Receive it, believe it, and know you are anointed and you are perfected, continually cleansed. If you have the wrong thought, don't worry about it. It's being cleansed. You do the wrong thing, don't get all caught up in beating yourself up for the next week. No. God is cleansing that too. That is what the blood is all about that Jesus shed. It's a forgiveness. Let it go. You know, you hurt somebody's feeling, don't beat yourself up over it. Cleansed from it. God is continually perfecting you every second, every millisecond. You have the Spirit of God within you, changing you, transforming you, so you can walk a greater life, so you can walk the life God dreamed of. That is the tree of life, by the way, Jesus. That is the tree of life. When we receive it, we have living waters. Jesus talked about that. How we, if we drink the water he gives us, we will not die. We have living waters. And that is the tree of life. That is what the work that Jesus did. And he came to liberate us, to free us. Close your eyes right now. In your heart, you might have invited Jesus to come into your heart. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you're not sure. But let's pray for a moment and just ask him. Let's ask to receive this gift that God dreamed, so that we can be liberated from our worries, from our fears, from our concerns, from our mistakes, from our shortcomings. We can be liberated from all that. And today you can truly be free. Today you can be freed because that was God's dream for you. That was his promise. And that was what Jesus did. He brought liberty.